Second and goal from the 4. Seattle leads by 7. Bunch formation to the left, 2 receivers right. Hand off Adrian Peterson. Big hole to the right side. Lowers the helmet at the 2. Dives for the end zone. Touchdown!
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
And a pleasant good evening to you, wherever you may be, all throughout the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. I'm Paul Allen, and this is Vikings Live from Winter Park. We have head coach Leslie Frazier to kick it off, and much more coming up later with the Detroit Lions being the bill of fare this weekend. And this interview with head coach Leslie Frazier is provided by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of the Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. Good evening, Coach Frazier. Are things well?
Yes, things are well.
Practice Wednesday and Thursday with the guys go okay?
Yeah, the guys are really looking forward to this ball game, excited about playing an NFC North opponent, and we're looking forward to it.
When you come into a week of practice and you start noticing different things about the team or about the individuals, what are some things that cause you pause, where you take back and you say, okay, I haven't seen that and I like that?
Well, you like to see guys engaged in what you're doing in the meetings as well as practice. And if the focus is there, you get excited about the preparation. So we've had good preparation. The guys have really been focused this week, and now we need to go out and play a good game.
Is there a post-Thursday practice update on Percy Harvin you can share with us?
Well, he's still limited, and we're hoping to have him back tomorrow at practice. We'll wait and see.
If you don't have Percy this weekend, is Jarius Wright elevated?
Yes, we'll get Jarius up, and that'll give him an opportunity to go out and play.
In case he does play this weekend, tell us a little bit about what he does. He's deactivated every week. He's a healthy scratch. What does he do in the interim during the week?
Well, he's a guy who has, you know, real good speed, Paul. He has some shiftiness about him after the catch. We think he'll be able to provide some opportunities for us, but potentially down the field as well. But his ability to catch the ball and then run after the catch is what really stands out.
Is he strictly a slot receiver? Because I remember in that preseason game at Houston, he had a nice play down the sidelines. I think he might have started outside there. I'm not sure. But does he play outside receiver or just slot guy?
No, we'll move him back and forth. I mean, he'll play outside. He'll play in the slot as well. But he is a very good slot receiver, but he can play outside.
I think one of the most popular questions I receive either through the Vikings or at the radio station, the flagship, the Fan, is why hasn't Jarius Wright been in uniform up to this point? Why is that with Jarius?
Nothing to do with Jarius. I mean, he's done a good job. As you recall, he was injured early in the season with the ankle coming out of the preseason. So took him a little while to get back to form from a physical standpoint, but he's done everything we'd ask him to do in practice. Stephen Burton has done a good job for us blocking as well as receiving, so it's been difficult to get Jarius up, but he'll have his opportunity and hopefully he'll do well.
What about Devin Aromashadu? Devin had some good moments for you with that catch against Jacksonville, put a pass interference call on Josh Wilson in the Washington game. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to put Devin in the Pro Bowl, but then all of a sudden he was did not play a couple of games ago and just kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit. What's going on with Devin Aromashadu?
Devin's play has still been on par. We just same thing with Devin. Probably you could ask me the same question about our other receivers. We just have not gotten things going in the passing game. Nothing to do with Devin. I mean, he's working hard as he did against Jacksonville or Washington that you referenced, but we haven't connected with him.
Are you frustrated right now?
Not frustrated, a little disappointed in some things that we got to do better on to in order to win games in the National Football League, and we'll get that done.
How important is it for you, Leslie, as the leader of this team, and really your coaches too, to not let frustration or trepidation or pensive feelings be seen by the players? In other words, wow, Leslie's tripping out right now over this, that, and the other. Then that may make the players worry a little bit too. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. There are moments where they need to know that I'm not happy about certain things. But in our case, Paul, you have to be able to see the big picture from my vantage point. And where we are is not a bad position. We're in a pretty good position. The thing for us to do is to go out and win this ball game on Sunday. And we still control our destiny. And that's where our energy has to be on without looking back,
yep.
but really looking forward.
And Christian Ponder is your starting quarterback into this game. I would assume he's the starting quarterback the rest of the year, assuming he stays healthy, correct?
No doubt about it. I mean, Christian is the guy who's going to lead us to a championship in Minnesota. And he's a young quarterback who's still developing in a lot of areas, and he's going to get better. And we got to do some things around him to help him to get better.
I know you don't follow fan reaction or anything, or maybe you hear it, but as a head coach, you can't get caught up in it. But do you recognize the fact that fans can look at it one way because they're not as heavily vested into it as you? They can look at it and say, okay, this sucks, let's replace it, let's move on. But from an organizational standpoint, Christian Ponder is an investment. And you have to look at that investment and see the whole thing out before you can make a blanket determination on what you want to do, correct?
Yeah, and that's not only with Christian. That's with every player on our team.
It's, right.
You know, you're trying to not look necessarily in the short term, but you're looking long term. We want to win every week that we line up. But at the same time, we're looking at and projecting where guys are going to be and what the expectations are at every position. So you're right. You can't get caught up in fan reaction. You have to be able to see things for what they are and make decisions based on that.
What's so much different about Christian from that game he had against San Francisco compared to where he is now? I mean, he threw for 198, which isn't the greatest number in the world, but 2 touchdowns, 0 picks, most importantly, 0 sacks. So maybe I'm answering my own question here. But what's so much different from then to now?
You know, when you look back at that ball game, if you know, you speak of that one in particular, he was playing with so much confidence in his decision making. He was making decisions and doing things immediately, as opposed to right now. You know, there's some times where he's holding the ball a little bit longer than we'd like for him to.
Yep.
He's moving around in the pocket a little sooner than we'd like for him to. So there's some things that we got to work on to get him back comfortable again, and we're working on that.
And he hasn't even started 20 games. Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Vikings on Vikings Live at Winter Park. It's now you get into the emotional human nature aspect of performing, where there are a lot of people, a lot of cameras, a lot of distractions, a lot of money goes with it. And you've had the success. So it's almost like you, offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave, Craig Johnson, the quarterback's coach, you have to put somebody in a position to win. You also have to raise them and teach them footwork and stuff like that. But then you have to deal with the emotional facet of potentially losing your confidence. A lot goes into this, Leslie.
Oh, yeah. It's not as simple as drawing some plays on a board, Paul. There's a lot involved. You're exactly right. And but you know what? We'll get through this, and we'll get through it in a positive way, and we'll have success.
Bad news on the Lions front. Sorry to hear that rookie cornerback Bill Bentley is not going to be playing this weekend.
You're sorry to hear that.
Well, yeah, you had a lot of success against him at Ford Field. Put 2 pass interference calls on him with Jerome Simpson. Had the one on the sidelines for 27 late. I mean, this is with all due respect. It's a very competitive game. But when I heard that he had that shoulder problem, I was very sorry for everybody.
Yes, well, you're right. He's on IR, and he won't play in this ball game. And we still have to find ways to have success in the passing game, and we're looking forward to flipping the script and having some success in the passing game.
Jerome Simpson, 1 catch for 14 yards against Seattle. It was in the middle of the field. You know, I'm being complete Rube fan right now. In the preseason against in the Buffalo game, you know, maybe it's being taken away or whatever, but you got Jerome loose in the middle of the field. He leapt over somebody, a linebacker, and then he turned like 6 into like 30.
Yeah.
Is that being taken away, or do we need to see it more?
You know, Paul, Jerome has struggled a little bit with that injury that occurred, I think, the Tennessee game, if I'm thinking back. And it's kind of held him back a little bit. So he's not quite where he was at that point. And it's going to take a little time, but he's getting better.
Okay, let me try the fan perspective on this one, looking back at some things that I've liked earlier in the season. Just leaving the games, watching back the TV copies, wondering where it is. Buffalo game, Kyle Rudolph clears out the safety, takes a linebacker with him down, and then here comes Toby Gerhart, I think you call it an angle route, to the right, darts over to the left, has a linebacker on him, catches it, gets like 27. Is obviously that's still in the playbook,
yes.
But is it easy to execute things like that with Adrian or Toby Gerhart? It was an absolutely brilliant play.
Right. Well, yeah, I don't know about easy, but Based on what the defense does, those plays are still there, and we still call some of those plays, and even the angle route, and we've done it with Adrian. But we haven't had the type of success with some of those plays that we had early in the season, and we've tried to go back this week and take a look at why, and now to come up with some conclusions to help us to play better.
Do you have the foolproof protection schemes for Calvin Johnson already? You guys have done a great job against Calvin for like five or six games.
Yeah, he's a special receiver, as we all know. And we have to always come up with a plan for Calvin, and we hope that the plan we put together this week will be effective. But even more so, being able to defend Calvin. But now, because of what they're doing in the run game, Paul, we got to make sure we don't sleep on their run game.
Yeah, but, you know, when you guys beat them at Ford Field, they were kind of feeling good about their running game, too. Mm-hmm. And I think Mikael LeShore went for 13 carries for 26 yards. So I'm not going to disrespect their backfield. Mm-hmm. And Joik Bell chewed you up late when you're kind of giving him stuff to kill clock.
Right.
I just can't associate Detroit and running. But I guess we need to, right?
I think we do. They've definitely made some changes when it comes to their run game. So we do need to give their run game some respect.
Harrison Smith, your rookie safety, told me earlier in the week he felt he had a bad game against Seattle. He missed too many tackles. Was he being too hard on himself, or did he have a shaky game?
You know, he did some good things in that ball game. And even for Harrison, you have to always remember that he's still in his rookie season. There are going to be some games where every play is not the way he wants it to be, and he's going to continue to get better as the season goes on.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Vikings on Vikings Live at Winter Park. A few more here with yours truly, Paul Allen. In a game like this, their linebackers, specifically when they're in base, and I know you guys go two tight ends, two receivers, single set, a fair amount. But now with John Carlson back and Kyle Rudolph with five TDs this year, but only two catches for 17 yards the last three. Talk about the importance of matching up your tight ends versus their linebackers. Steven Tulloch, respected, good downhill thumper. Mm-hmm. Justin Durant and DeAndre Levy. You know, you have respect for everybody in the game, mm-hmm. but is that an advantage for the Vikings, your tight ends potentially versus their linebackers into their base defense?
We'd like to think so. It's an area that we want to attack for sure. We want to be able to get the ball to Cal in different ways, and we're going to try to get that done in this ball game against their linebackers and their safeties as well. And we'll see how it materializes.
Yeah, in training camp, Leslie, you know, we heard so much about the tight end-based offense,
yes.
The tight end-first offense of the Minnesota Vikings. Is that still the case, specifically with as well as Adrian Peterson's running right now?
Well, you know, John has not been involved as much as we would like. He's coming off the concussion now. We want to work him into our offense and have he and Cal to be effective tight ends for us. That hasn't materialized for us. But Adrian has been superb, and so has Percy. And hopefully we'll be able to get our two tight end set going. But in the meantime, we got to find a way to get Kyle involved as well.
And for those of you who just joined us, just a quick update. Leslie Frazier told us earlier that Percy Harvin did not practice earlier today. Speaking of Adrian, his running has just been spectacular of late. That's good. Seems to be catching the ball a little more comfortably. Is he picking up the blitzes okay? Is he becoming more of a complete back?
I think he is. I'm glad you mentioned the catching, because I have been so impressed, and I've told him this a number of times, with how hard he's worked on catching balls. There was a time, it was a struggle, you know, when you saw him trying to catch the football, but now he's much more natural, much more comfortable in doing it. Just a credit to his hard work, and he's gotten better at picking up blitzes. He's becoming, in all areas, a complete back.
What, Leslie, will be good about having the bye week next week?
The fact that our players will get a chance to kind of get away a little bit and be ready to push for what is going to be an exciting second half of November and then on into December. It's a time for us to really push for greater things.
Are teams having the bye week this late, weeks 10, 11 or so, are they at a disadvantage, not only physically and mentally, but you can only do so much self-scouting during the course of a week? And do you ever worry that maybe you're putting some tendencies or some tells out there that you need to get around?
Well, you're always conscious of that on offense, defense, and special teams, because you know people are scouting you and coming up with solutions and trying to find ways to defeat what you do. For us, you know, we have a late bye. That's just the way things fail for us this year. But we have to always be self-scouting ourselves.
We're all pulling for you guys this week, and best of luck to you, Leslie. And we won't chat. We'll chat next week, but best of luck in this game and enjoy your off week, all right?
All right, thank you.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. It's Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. Special teams coordinator Mike Prefer joins us. It is Salute to Service Month around the National Football League. Acknowledged this weekend at Mall of America Field with Coach Prefer's Vikings taking on the Detroit Lions. Good evening to you, Coach Prefer. How are you?
Hi, Paul. How are you tonight?
Good. 6 years, 6 years serving our country. Tell us about your time in the military.
Well, I started out at the Naval Academy back in the summer of 1985. I graduated from Annapolis in the spring of '89. Went to flight school. Received my wings in December of 1990, and then you continued flying for about 5 years, and actually did 3 more years. I did 8 years active duty. Did three active. The last 3 years were at the Naval Academy, working as a phys ed instructor and as club sports officer, and kind of slid my way into the football world, being a GA there on the football team.
So do you come from more of a football or a military background?
Both my grandfathers were in the military, like a lot of guys' grandfathers. My dad, of course, was a football coach, longtime high school, college, and NFL coach. So I have both in my background, so it's kind of cool.
When did you know which career path you were going to take? I mean, did you go into the military? Don't take this the wrong way. Was it completely by choice? Was it what was put right in front of you, and you're like, hey, I'll try that, while you wanted to do something else? Or was serving your country something that burned inside of you?
Yeah, I was a big Civil War buff when I was a young guy, and I read a lot of books on it, and Bruce Catton's Army of the Potomac and Michael Schur's Killer Angels, those type of books, and got me really interested in the military. And I have this, or had this, and still do a little bit, to some extent, have a romantic idea about the military and serving your country and serving our country. And so I knew when I was 14 or 15 years old that's something I really wanted to do. Talked to my dad about it, said I was going to enlist in the Army when I graduated high school. He goes, well, you have pretty good grades, why don't you think about the academies? And so he kind of sparked that interest for me. He and I drove one summer before my junior year to see West Point and Annapolis, and fell in love with both places, and got into Annapolis, and the rest is history.
Where'd you graduate from high school?
In Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Bastard.
So I know, my senior year, though. I moved my senior year. I had no choice.
Really? So what's it like when you go back there? I mean, it was just a pit stop in the life of Mike Prefer, correct?
It was a pit stop. I have a good buddy of mine who's married with four kids now, and I visited with him and he and his family last year before we played Green Bay, and Jim Campbell's his name is a good guy, but he and I were buddies in high school my senior year.
Mike, when you say you got your wings, what exactly does that mean, and where did it take you?
Well, I received my wings of gold, which said that I was a naval aviator, and that took about almost a year and a half, from like August of '89 till December of 1990. It takes a while, and it's a bunch of different stages. It's in near Pensacola, Florida. We start in Pensacola and go to Milton, Florida. It's about an hour north of Pensacola, and that's when I started flying helicopters and got my wings and went to Jacksonville and then continued training in helicopters and then joined my squadron right there in Jacksonville, Florida.
So were you actually ever in combat?
No,
combat-like situations?
Not really, because what I missed the first Gulf War, and then even though I went over there, it was still a hot area, so to speak, but we were in the Gulf and they didn't have a Navy and we weren't threatened. And you know, I flew into Mogadishu when that was still a dangerous area several times, back when Somalia was a big deal. And but I volunteered for all those flights. You know, when you're trained to do something, you want to go in there and do it. And plus, we had Navy SEALs with us, and we were flying them around and did a lot of training missions with them. And obviously, a great bunch of guys. And obviously, I'm glad, you know, we're all glad they're on our side. So I had some great experiences. I've been very blessed and got to fly and land with the wheels down every time. So that means we survived.
Mogadishu and that part of the world, what's it like? How hot does it get?
It was pretty hot, you know, not too bad on the aircraft carrier, but it was a hot area and very desert-like conditions and very tough. I don't know how those people do it. It's a lot of poverty. It was sad to see a lot of things that, you know, I saw. But I got a chance to go into a lot of different countries in Europe. I went to Israel. I've been to Abu Dhabi and Dubai. And so I've been a lot of different places. I had a lot of great experiences all in my 20s.
You've been to the Dubai and the United Arab Emirates, I would imagine,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's correct.
Have you ever met Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum?
No, I didn't know that name, but no, I have not met him. He probably wouldn't want to meet me, though.
What was it like landing helicopters on aircraft carriers in the middle of the sea?
Well, the aircraft carriers were easy. It was the destroyers or the frigates or the cruisers. They were a little bit more difficult because they're, you know, it's a very small area that you have to land on, and especially at night with no horizon and they're a bad sea state and everything's relative and you're bouncing, you know, the ship's bouncing around and you're trying to guide it down in there. And so I had a lot of great training, had the best training in the world for naval aviators, and I was very fortunate there, and very fortunate to survive a lot of different different conditions.
That's fascinating, and you and I have chatted about it before, but not that extensively on the Vikings Radio Network. And you know, this being Salute to Service Week, mm-hmm. it's an honor to have you here, and just thank you for what you did for the country when you did it, and thank you also for being our special teams coordinator, where special teams wise, all facets of this year have done pretty well. Don't you agree?
We still have a long way to go. I'm kind of a perfectionist, and I'm always looking to improve, but in reality our guys are doing a great job. They're working hard. They've bought into what Coach Frazier's been preaching. It's been being a disciplined, tough, playing fast and physical type football team with high character young men, and I've really enjoyed coaching these guys so far this year. I hope we can keep it going for the Vikings fans and for this great state of Minnesota, and it was an honor to serve in the country, and I was blessed, and the Lord blessed me with a lot of things, and being serving in the military and now getting the chance to coach in the NFL, I couldn't have two better occupations in my mind.
It was a great challenge at Seattle with their kick coverage and Percy Harvin, where they came into it giving up an average start position of like 19.5, mm-hmm. number one in the NFL, mm-hmm. and Hauschka, even though he had a good touchback game in that game, he only had 18 touchbacks. So it looked like no matter how hard he thinks he's going to hit it, they want to kick it to him. They want you to come out. Outsiders like me looked at it like, go ahead, I dare you.
No, that's what I wanted to. Yeah, I want him to kick it to us, absolutely.
And isn't it how that was into the game? And how do you think it worked out?
Well, we preached all week. It was the number one kickoff team against one of the top kickoff return teams in the NFL. And, I think we won that battle. They went from first to fifth, I think, in the NFL in overall nice. Drive start average. So I think we did our
That's
job.
Right.
We didn't have a lot of opportunities, unfortunately. We Percy had the one real nice return. Jerome Felton did a fantastic job on the squib kick at the end of the first half.
And yeah.
So our guys they're starting to understand situations. We preach situational football all the time. That starts with Coach Frazier and myself and the other coordinators. And I think offense, defense, and special teams are trying to figure those. We're starting to figure those things out and get more experience at it. And for a young team to do that, when things happen in a game, we're going to be more prepared for it.
Mike Prefer, Vikings special teams coordinator on Vikings Live from Winter Park. Leslie said atop the show that Percy Harvin did not practice today. Let's handle the assumption. Let's just say he doesn't play this weekend. If he does not play this weekend, is it Marcus Sherrill's to return kicks, or does it give you an opportunity to open up some things?
Yeah, Marcus would be an opportunity. A.J. Jefferson, because he's so athletic, and he was a very good returner in Arizona when they used him part-time. Josh Robinson, Jarius Wright could be an option, Stephen Burton. So I've got a lot of different options, guys that we've worked in there that have some experience or, maybe not so much experience with the rookies. But, I'm looking forward to seeing some different guys. And, Marcus is a guy who's hard not to put out there because you trust him.
Yeah.
And he's got a great ball security, and he's going to do everything he's asked to do. And obviously he's gaining more and more confidence as he gets going. His average would be 13, 14 yards per punt return if we didn't have those penalties. That's the thing that's breaking my heart for him and for our football team. We got to eliminate those penalties on punt return. And, of course, continue to get the kickoff return better.
And Marcus went for 77 on his birthday at Ford Field to help you guys win the game. A couple of quickies to close here for the special teams coordinator. The Detroit Lions, where you get a kick return and a punt return touchdown a week after, they give up basically the same thing to the Tennessee Titans. That's a month ago. Are they more squared away now?
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier today during my press conference. They are a well-coached team. I know, their head coach is going to put a lot of emphasis on special teams, obviously. They made a few personnel changes, but not wholesale.
Yeah.
I think they're doing what they're taught to do and coached to do, but they're doing it better. They have improved. We have a huge challenge cut out for us this weekend, and hopefully we've gotten better, too, in the last 6 weeks. That's what I've told our guys. You know what? They're better, but so are we. And we're going to get better at a lot of little things that we're doing and continue to improve and eliminate the penalties, and let's see what happens on Sunday.
Do you have aspirations to become a head coach?
Absolutely.
Do you have a time frame?
No, I'm 46 years old. I got plenty of time. My wife is patient. She's a great coach, and she'd be a great head coach's wife. But time will tell. I think right now my focus is to help the Minnesota Vikings win a world championship, and I think that's why I'm here.
For what it's worth, I think you do a great job. And thank you very much for joining the show.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity to be here.
Mike Prefer, special teams coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. He'll be followed by one of his pupils, Colin Leffler, long snapper, will be next on Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota. Welcome back. Protect the football at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's football the way it should be. Play the VIP scratch game, and you could win a VIP experience. Buffalo Wild Wings discounts and more. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. And this is Vikings Live from Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. We thank head coach Leslie Frazier for joining us earlier. And now let's chat with longstanding long snapper for the Minnesota Vikings, the eclectic Colin Loeffler is on Vikings Live from Winter Park. Mr. Colin Loeffler, good to see you, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. It's you know what? We were looking around and talking about guests and everything, and I'm like, how come we never have the long snapper? Having the long snapper on radio or TV did quite well for the future career of one Mike Morris, 13 years in the NFL, 9 with the Minnesota Vikings. So let's start putting the long snapper in the mix. Just because he's the fourth down center doesn't mean we need to forget about him. Do you feel like you've been shortchanged by radio and TV here at the Vikings Entertainment Network?
Not at all. Not at all. Actually, I like the anonymity, and I like just to be just to fly under the radar.
Yeah, but when it's political season, also you come from a political family. Tell us, tell us how long you've been in the league, and what type of season you think you're having this year.
This is my 9th year with the Vikings, and basically my season's judged on the ability and the success of our kickers, and they've been doing a good job so far, and so I guess I've had a good season so far, and hopefully we can continue and continue to be an elite special teams, because we've been doing pretty well so far. We got a tremendous challenge this week, because this Detroit team has really turned it around, and I've been playing good special teams football, and they've got a great return guy in Stephon Logan. So
yeah,
it'll be a great challenge for us this week, and we're looking forward to it.
And with the long snapper and the duties, let's say you get 3 punts, some extra points, and some field goal tries. I mean, if you get 8, 9, or 10 tries in a game, that's actually quite a bit, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it varies with the team that we're playing and or how many times we're scoring, but certainly if it's 8, 9, 10 plays a game, then it's a good workload. But those 8, 9, 10 plays a game have to be perfect and
yeah,
precise. So that's the difference with the amount of time that I get versus some of these other guys. It's okay to maybe throw a bad ball if you're a quarterback every now and then, you know, or not complete a pass because you have another play. Chris and Blair and I all have to complete our plays every time we go out there.
And, you know, I make it a point before and after games to chat with you, and I've pretty much done it for all of our careers together. I've done it 11 years, you've done it 9. And you're very hard on yourself, even if you have a punt down by the shoelaces, one up by the top of the helmet. You know, it'd be nice to throw a perfect game each and every week and be like the Greg Maddox of long snappers or something. But you do get down on yourself, even if you have only 4 or 5 opportunities and 2 of them are not perfect, correct?
Certainly, and I think that kind of goes for anyone who wants to be the best at whatever they're doing per their job. You know, you have to be critical of what you do and have to be realistic, and that's been kind of how I've always gone about things, and maybe the reason that I've had success is that I've always been hard on myself, and I've always expected to play to the best of my ability, and I expect that from my teammates, and it's just something I live by, and will continue to live by.
Being a long snapper in the National Football League, it's not a bad thing. I mean, if you can latch onto the right team and be very good at what you do and work well, I mean, you know, looking at these depth charts, man, you see some long snappers who have been in the league from 12 to 17 years. I know Bradford Banta out of the game now. He played for quite some time. Patrick Manley for the Chicago Bears for quite some time. Don Muehlbach for the Detroit Lions. Colin Loeffler for the Minnesota Vikings. It's not a bad career path to take for somebody to get into football, correct?
It's not a bad career path at all. I love my job, and I've landed and been a part of an organization that I've got a lot of respect for and appreciation for, and it's been a great 9 years so far. Hopefully I can make it 9 more. You never know. But I love the people here. I love our fan base. I love wearing those horns on my helmet, and would like to continue to do that long into the future and into the new stadium.
Minnesota Vikings long snapper Colin Loeffler is our guest on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Do you know the superstar Mike Morris very well?
I do. I've actually pumped iron with him before.
Really?
So, and if any of you have seen him, you know he's a little bit bigger than I am. But he's always been really good to me. I've always had that most respect for him. You know, long snappers kind of have their own little smaller fraternity within the fraternity,
and
we got a lot of respect for what we've done and how hard the job is. Some people don't realize it, just take it for granted at times, and Maybe if you're able to take someone for granted at playing that position, then they're doing it the right way. And so hopefully a lot of people have taken me for granted.
Did you ever watch any tape of superstar Mike Morris? Has he ever snapped to you? Because he had a wonderful, wonderful career. But with all due respect to a coworker and a dear friend of mine, the biggest snap of his career was in the 98 NFC title game, and it was a little high. And Gary Anderson missed the only kick he had missed all year, and we lost the game.
Well, I mean, we can't kick as well, so I can't fault him for that snap. I have never actually watched it.
It was high. It was too high.
Well, obviously they got it down. Yeah. So, and I'm sure there was a high snap during his perfect.
He threw Gary off.
His perfect season that he probably hit right through those uprights with no problem. So you can't blame the snapper.
Of course you can't.
So, but I'm sure everyone does anyway. Sorry, Mike. But anyways, that was unfortunate, and I wish Gary would have hit it through just like every other Minnesotan, and we would have gone to that Super Bowl.
Now that we know Chris Cluey is not a plumber, he's a punter.
Right.
What's it like working with the eclectic, wide-ranging, outspoken, yet learned punter Chris Cluey?
It's always interesting. He is a sharp guy, like everyone has come to find out, and he makes conversations between us very interesting, to say the least. We got the utmost respect for him. He works hard. He wants to be the best that he can possibly be at his craft. And like I said before, all I have is respect for that.
You know, Chris actually went through a little patch there where I think 13 of his punts may have averaged 39 yards a punt. He had a boomer at Seattle. Leon Washington chose to return it from 2 yards out of the end zone. Overall, Chris seemed to bounce back okay in the Seattle game. Was, seriously speaking, and that's pretty much all you and I do is joke around, but seriously speaking, especially for a team constructed to play in close games like the Minnesota Vikings, Colin Loeffler and Chris Cluey are important in field position battles. What was Chris in a little tiny slump there that he needed to come out of?
I mean, for the leg that he has, I mean, you can always say that, because he has the ability to hit that big field-changing punt every time he goes out in the field. So, sure, if he's averaging 39 over 13 punts, yeah, sure. But we got to do our job as well, and that's cover. So if he's hitting a high hang-time punt that's 39, 40 yards every time, and we're netting 40 yards, every week, then – who's going to be complaining with that?
What other position could you play on the football team if it wasn't long snapper?
I know my specialists will laugh when they hear this, but because I always think that I can play any position. But I don't know, maybe quarterback now, because I can't.
Corner or quarter?
Quarter. No, cornerback now.
Well, I know Christian's been a little off the last five, but are we stretching it a little bit here?
No, I certainly could never play on Christian's level, but if I had my druthers and I could and choose to play a position, man, that'd be great to play quarterback.
Well, when you played high school football in Texas, what did you play?
I was a quarterback. So.
And how well did your team do?
We did well. We did well. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but we went on the longest losing streak in the nation after I left. So, I had anything to do with that. It
Colin,
just kind of worked out that
are
way.
Are you smelling blood right now? Are you sensing, because the fans are so down on the passing game and the quarterback right now, that let's skip over Joe Webb and McLeod, John, Baltazar, Bethel Thompson. Let's go right to Colin Loeffler. That potentially was the answer at Seattle. Put you in late in the game and win.
Well, if you put me in that game, it would have been awful. So it would have just been just completely awful. I don't think that anyone would want to see me behind center. Certainly not John. He'd probably just tell me to get off the field, Sullivan, if he saw me walk in there. So
a couple of quickies to close here with Colin Loeffler, our loquacious long snapper. We have the Lions coming up this weekend at noon, and you will see Colin performing by snapping the ball to Chris Cluey on field goals and of course, punts. Speaking of field goals, Blair Walsh, the kid's been absolutely spectacular. The touchbacks are going to set a Vikings record, assuming he stays healthy. I think he's five behind it now, and the record is Mitch Berger in 98 at 40. Field goals-wise, he's only missed one. I believe it was at Ford Field against Detroit. What's Blair been like? Was he kind of a quiet, wide-eyed kid when he came in here? Now he's had some success. Is he still the same guy?
Blair hasn't changed at all. He's taking the same great approach to every day, coming in here, trying to get better at his craft, realizing that, we need to hit as every field goal. And even to miss one, he was down, but he knows, he's not perfect, and he's just continued to work hard. He's been doing a tremendous job for us, not only on field goals, but on kickoffs as well. And sky's the limit for him. He's only a rookie and really stepped up, and he's been one heck of a pro so far.
Last one, or second to last one, when Ryan Longwell was let go and they drafted a kicker, what was your reaction to that? Did it hurt you when Ryan Longwell left?
Ryan and I had a great relationship, and we always will. I really have been fortunate to be around so many great kickers. Going from Morton Anderson to Paul Edinger to Ryan Longwell, now to Blair Walsh. And,
yeah.
It's never easy to see a guy go that you've been around for so long and had so much success with. And
yeah.
That was a true professional as well, and a team leader, and just an all-around good guy.
And you're going to be part of a bunch of records, Colin, knock on wood. I mean, you were mentioning 05 with Paul Edinger at Mall of America Field against Green Bay. He hits one from 56.
Yep.
That's a Vikings record. Walsh with a couple of 55s. And now snapping it to Walsh, Walsh with the touchbacks will get Berger. You'll be on that team. So being around that long, you definitely have seen a lot from the kicking standpoint, haven't you?
I've seen a lot and been around a lot of tremendous, great professionals. And I'm very fortunate to have been here with this team and been around those guys. And like I said, hopefully I can continue that into the new stadium.
Yep.
And be a part of this organization for as long as I can snap.
Last one for long snapper Colin Loeffler on Vikings Live from Winter Park. Your family is deeply rooted in the Texas political scene. Tell us about your dad and what he does.
My dad was a U.S. congressman, represented the 21st district from, it would have been 68 to 78. And so we've had some deep political ties for a long time. Now it's not as... we're not as tied in anymore, I would say, I guess, since he's been out of office for so long. But definitely a lot of pride in our country, pride in serving the country, and hopefully, like everyone I'm sure is thinking nowadays, is that maybe we can get this thing turned around, get this economy jump-started again and do great things.
So Tuesday evening, the presidential election, that's like a Loeffler family Super Bowl night, correct?
I guess that back when we were all together, but now that we're kind of all in different areas, it was really just me by myself, because my wife and kids had gone back to Texas to get a little early jump start on the bye week.
Yeah. Hey, Colin, thanks for the outstanding conversation. Best of luck this weekend, man. I always enjoy your company, okay?
Thanks, PA.
That's Colin Loeffler, a longtime long snapper for the Minnesota Vikings. When we return, Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com breaks down the Lions on the... Hey there, make sure to join yours truly and Paul Charchian tomorrow from 9 to noon at Buffalo Wild Wings in Oakdale for the Friday Football Feast. Check out the complete schedule at Vikings.com or on my show page at KFAN.com. It's the Paul Allen show page. And I also am tweeting these days. If you would like to follow me, it is at PAKFAN Vikes, at PAKFAN Vikes. At Wobby, Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com joins us now. Hello, Wobby.
Hey, how's it going, PA?
Good, thank you. Earlier in the show, I chatted with Mike Prefer, who, quote, got his wings, end quote, and has extensive military service.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend being Salute to Service Day at Mall of America Field, is there anything you can add?
Yeah, I think for fans who are going to the game, it's going to be pretty cool. Even if you watch it on TV, you're going to notice. But for fans specifically who are at the game, there's going to be a really cool thing right around the coin toss, I think, or maybe it's the national anthem. They have a traditional riderless horse.
Sweet.
I think that's really a cool symbolic thing that Brian Harper and his crew are going to put together. Fans should get to the game early, because 15 minutes before kickoff, they're going to do a card stunt where there's a card at each fan's seat and instructions on the back of the card, and they all do something in synchronization, and it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be a welcome home ceremony at halftime for the National Guard's First Brigade 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. So that'll be kind of cool.
Yep. Yep. God bless to everybody involved. Salute to service weekend at Mall of America Field and throughout the month around the National Football League. Mike Prefer, the special teams coordinator, spent a good 5 minutes talking to us about his extensive military history and what a weekend like this means to him. Now to the game.
Yes.
The Detroit Lions. The Lions scored one offensive touchdown versus us, but in the subsequent four games, specifically starting with a comeback victory against the Eagles, which was very nice, the team has 9 offensive touchdowns. Everybody around the facility today, including Leslie Frazier on TV and radio, is pounding into my head. Scott Linehan, the offensive coordinator for the Lions, and the Lions are making a concerted effort to run the ball. Mm-hmm. They want to run the ball. They want a balanced identity. It's strange to hear that with Lions football.
It is. And, you know, I agree with what they're saying. They know more about it than I do. But in just watching some of their games back, they have Riley Reiff. I think Riley Reiff's their best offensive lineman, okay? But he doesn't start.
Right.
But the last two games, he has started at tight end. So
yeah.
They have an unbalanced formation to start the game, and they do that throughout the game. So that just goes to show you right there how committed they are to running the ball more. I think they got a nice runner in Mikel LeShore.
Yeah.
And then they have Bell to back him up. So I can see why they're making more of a concerted effort. And, you know, Matthew Stafford was off rhythm a little bit early in the season, so maybe that's why they wanted to lean on the run a little bit more too. And there's nothing wrong with being more balanced. You know, I don't want to denigrate Calvin Johnson too much. The guy's a phenomenal player, and he's capable of lighting you up at any time. Mm. But I don't think he's been the same player since Chad Greenway and Harrison Smith got to him in week 4. And he's making, you know, he's dropping some passes that he normally would make. I don't think, you know, he's dealing with a knee injury that kept him out of practice all of last week and all of this week. I don't think he looks like the same player. Now, he still had 130 receiving yards last week, so he can still get the job done, but he's just not quite the same. That could be working into why they want to run the ball a little bit more too. So while Calvin Johnson isn't the same Calvin Johnson he was last year, at least not yet, that running game is a lot better. So it's still a tough unit to take care of. The Vikings defense will have a challenge.
Back to the Lions rushing approach quickly.
Yeah.
I wonder if using Riley Reiff as the extra offensive lineman, the rookie from Iowa, and going with the unbalanced line, I wonder if it goes in tandem with losing Nate Burleson for the season.
Mm.
So they lose Nate Burleson for the season. They have Kasim Osgood. He can play receiver, but his identity is that of a special teamer. Ryan Broyles, the rookie from Oklahoma, seems to be getting better.
Yep.
You know, but he was coming off a pretty significant injury in college, and I'm sure that they're probably mindful of that. But Burleson goes down. They all of a sudden unveil Reiff as this extra offensive lineman to start running the ball well.
Yeah, I think it's a good plan. And, you know, Matthew Stafford has a tendency sometimes to get sacked a lot, or at least he has it. It's because he drops back so often. Detroit used to be so pass heavy, and Matthew was willing to stand in there, take a hit, and deliver the pass. Maybe they wanted to reduce some of the sack numbers. You know, certainly Jared Allen has gotten to the Lions passers a fair amount during his career as a Viking. So that could be another part of it. But really, also, the talent that they have at running back is pretty good. I mean, Mikel LeShore, I think, is a good player. He had a fumble against us and didn't have a great game against us. But and Joakim Bell is good. I mean, I think they have good runners, so I think that works into it also. It's not the Detroit Lions of a few years ago where they really didn't have any good running back. All it was Calvin Johnson. Now they actually have some pretty good runners, and I think they like to feature them.
Defensively, how can we gouge these Motor City Kitties?
You mean for our offense against their defense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, see, Detroit's beat up a little bit defensively. We might be without Percy Harvin. They're going to be without some starters. They haven't started the same two safeties, Paul, in 3 games. You know, and their outside linebacker, Levy, he's injured. So they're going to be a little bit banged up. So I think for us, if Percy doesn't play, that's 7 receptions per game that you're going to have to replace. So where do they go? You know, I talked about this in the Wobcast that we had Chris Carter as our guest here earlier this week, and it's up on the website.
Very nice.
Now, I think there's 3 guys that you have to look at. Kyle Rudolph, obviously you got to get him involved. Only 2 catches the last 3 games, not good enough. So, you know, everyone wants to get him more involved. It's been talked about all week. I think it's going to happen. The other guy is John Carlson. I mean, John's gotten hurt at the wrong times. You've been talking about it. You've been banging that drum for weeks, and I think you're right about it. I think he got hurt at the wrong time twice, and now that he's back, I think he'll get his legs underneath him, and he's a guy who could see a few more looks with Percy Harvin possibly not playing. And then, obviously, Jarius Wright. I don't know about your email inbox, PA, but after games, I must get 20 or 30 emails
been
asking
like that all year.
Where the heck is Jarius Wright?
Uh-huh.
Well, we might get to see him. Maybe he'll play this week. And,
yeah,
you know, in my mind, I'm tempering the expectations a little bit because he's a fourth-round pick. It's nothing against him, but you just don't expect a lot from fourth-round picks.
Yeah.
Well, he might get to play. He might get a few touches. Maybe he'll be a kick returner if Percy doesn't play. So, you know, I think replacing Harvin's production, to me, it comes down to three guys: Jarius Wright, John Carlson, Kyle Rudolph.
Excellent contribution this week. We will watch that Chris Carter Wobcast at Vikings.com along with the winning formula we do for Vikings Game Plan and the Vikings Entertainment Network. Thank you very much, Michael.
Thanks, Paul. Good luck on Twitter.
And I'll see you tomorrow at Buffalo Wild Wings Oakdale at 10:15 for the Friday football feast.
We call that a bet.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
He's Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com. We thank the producers of the radio show. They would include Brian Harper, the executive producer of the Vikings Entertainment Network, and Chad Abbott, executive producer of the Vikings Radio Network. On-site producer Jay Nelson, the radio producer at the flagship FM 100.3 The Fan, is Joe Nelson. And from all of us here at Winter Park and with the Vikings Entertainment Network, I'm Paul Allen. Thank you for listening to Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.